Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We continue to work our way through 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Which is the last of three chapters that deal with the subject of spiritual gifts. Paul is answering questions that have been sent to him from the church at Corinth. Most of 1 Corinthians is given to answering various questions. And one of the questions that obviously came to Paul was about spiritual gifts. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the questions, we just have the answers. In most cases, the answers that are given make clear what the questions must have been, or at least we can get a pretty close understanding, pretty close proximity to what the questions must have been. But it would be nice if we had the exact questions that Paul was answering, but nevertheless, we know in general what he was doing. And it's obvious that the church at Corinth knew about spiritual gifts, exercised spiritual gifts, were actually rather highly endowed with spiritual gifts, maybe even more than some other churches, but didn't understand them fully and were misusing them in certain cases. And so Paul takes three chapters to address the question about spiritual gifts, question or questions. Chapter 12 is a rather general treatment of the subject. He deals with all kinds of spiritual gifts, and he likens it to the different members of our human body. We have toes, we have fingers, we have eyes, we have ears, we have a mouth. All of these are important, all of these are different, and no particular part can say, I don't need any other part. All are needed, but they're all different. And if the whole body was one part, if the whole body was an eye, then how would the body function in that situation? And Paul likens all of that to spiritual gifts. God has given different members of the body of Christ different gifts. Take the gift that God has used you and use that gift for His glory and for the benefit of the church. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to utilize a gift that has not been given to you, but take the one that has been given to you and use it for the glory of God. But moving into chapter 13, Paul tells us that none of the gifts are useful unless they are exercised in love. Love is greater than all the spiritual gifts. And thus we have that great chapter on love. But coming into chapter 14, where we are now, Paul zeroes in on one particular spiritual gift, namely speaking in tongues, which obviously was the one that was most misused in the Corinthian church. And Paul deals with that one specifically, and that's where we are now. And so I welcome you to this Wednesday, April 27 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, thanking you who help us financially so that we can continue ministering on this station. And we will continue this examination of tongues as it is set before us in 1 Corinthians 14. First of all, Paul talks about tongues and prophecy and makes it clear that prophecy is far superior to tongues because people understand what is said when when they are prophesied to. When a prophet receives divine revelation and communicates that to the people of God, people are edified, people are taught, people are built up, they are comforted, they are encouraged, they are ministered to, because prophecy speaks truth, divine truth, in an understandable language. Paul goes on from that, therefore, to talk about tongues and intelligibility. You can see how it follows logically. And he just simply makes the point that for anything to be beneficial to the church, it has to be intelligible to the church, whether we're talking about music, whatever we're talking about. And tongues are not intelligible to most people in the church. In fact, in some cases, are not understood by anybody in the church. Therefore, let's not make that the big deal. In fact, even stronger than that, keep your tongues out of church, unless there's an interpreter. But otherwise, they shouldn't even be utilized in church. That's of no value whatsoever. Rather, use the gifts that are intelligible, that people can understand. And so that takes us down to verse 12, and then we find in the next section what I have called tongues and practicality. Now we come to verse 13, and Paul says, "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret." That is logical based upon what has gone before. If tongues are going to have any usefulness at all in the church, it will only come because people understand what is said, and since tongues by definition are languages that people don't understand, then that message in the tongue needs to be interpreted. Otherwise, they are of no value to the church, as he's already made clear. And he goes on to say, "With tongues, the spirit is active, but the mind is not." Verse 14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." If I pray in a tongue. So evidently, tongues can be a declaration. Tongues can be a prayer. And Paul refers here to praying in tongues. "And if I pray in tongues," he said, "my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." This makes it clear that those who speak in tongues don't understand what they are saying. He's praying to God. His spirit is uplifted by this act of prayer to God, even in a tongue, but his mind is not benefiting at all. His understanding is unfruitful. You have heard people sometimes, I'm sure, use the phrase, "That was better felt than telt." Oh, have you heard that? Speaking about salvation or various aspects of salvation, it's better felt than telt. I can't really explain it. I can't articulate it, but I feel it. It ministers to my spirit. It ministers to my emotions. It makes me happy. It makes me excited. It makes me exalted. It's something that I feel intensely, but I can't really explain it to you. It's better felt than telt. Well, that's sort of what Paul is talking about here in regard to tongues. But he's saying, if you can't tell it, don't impose it upon others. That's the idea. If it's better felt than telt, then keep it to yourself. If you benefit from something because of the way it makes you feel, that may be legitimate. It's all also prone to misuse and to deception, but there's a legitimate place for that. Emotions are not automatically wrong, as some people think, but they are subject to misleading people. But here's the thing, when it comes to things as you feel intensely in regard to salvation and your walk with the Lord and so forth. If it's better felt than telt, then keep it to yourself. Enjoy that feeling, but don't impose it upon others. If you can't tell it, then don't share it. Don't take up time with it. Don't bring it to church. That's a message that is communicated here over and over again. But again, it flies against the way many people practice their Christianity at church. But public worship requires, and now we come to another statement of verse 15, public worship requires intellectual and spiritual components. Now listen to me. Listen to what he says in verse 15. What is the conclusion then? And what has he said? If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, what do I conclude from that? What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. What is Paul saying? He's saying something similar to what Jesus said in John chapter 4 when he said of God, those who worship him, God is seeking people to worship him, and those who worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. These are not separate things. They are to go together. Neither the mind nor the spirit is complete without the other. When Paul says in verse 15, what is the conclusion? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. He's not talking about two different prayers. He's not saying, on some occasions, I will pray with the spirit. In other words, he's already said that that's tongues. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, verse 14. So what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. Some people have taken that to mean, well, sometimes I pray in tongues, and other times I pray in an understandable language. And both are legitimate, but that's not what Paul is saying. What he's saying is, when I pray in church, when I pray in public, I do want to pray in the power of the Spirit. We should always be praying in the energizing power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, but with the understanding. I will pray in words that I understand and that others understand when I pray them. That's the conclusion. And then he goes on to include singing with this. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. We should sing with the spirit. Study the passages in Ephesians and Colossians that talk about our singing. And we should sing in the energizing power of the Holy Spirit, but not without understanding, not without clarity, not without articulating something understandable. When I pray, I will pray in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit in a language that people can understand. Otherwise, keep it to yourself at home. When I sing, I will sing with the energizing power of the Holy Spirit by all means. It needs to be a spiritual song. It needs to be spiritually energized and motivated, but in a language that I understand. I know what I'm singing, and others understand because they know what I'm singing. They understand the words. That's the whole purpose. We edify one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So come back tomorrow and we'll continue this. Thank you for joining me. May God give you his eternal peace.